In this lesson, we're going to take a look at access lists. Now, access lists, the first thing that comes to mind for many people is, oh, these are things you put on interfaces to filter traffic. And you know what? That's a darn good use of an access list. However, let's broaden the scope and widen our horizon as far as access lists go, just to confirm where we're at. We can use, indeed, an extended access list applied to an interface, ingress or egress on that interface, to filter traffic. But be aware, when we apply an access list to an interface, if we allow traffic through the ASA because of a stateful inspection, even if return traffic is denied, that return traffic, because of the adaptive security algorithm in this ASA, is going to allow that return traffic in. So certainly, access lists can be used for filtering, true. But they can also be used, for example, with AAA to match certain types of traffic to require authentication. We can identify network address translation as we did in the previous lesson, make policy NAT based on access list identification. Cryptography with the IPsec, we can specify which traffic is to be encrypted, split tunneling and everything else using an access list. What else can we use an access list for? Oh, I know. How about modular policy framework for classifying traffic? And then we can police or prioritize or a number of other items to the traffic that we have identified with an access list. On transparent firewalls, we have Ether-type ACLs. For OSPF redistribution, we have standard ACLs we can use. And we even have web-type ACLs for filtering VPNs, web VPNs. We will take a look at the Layer 2 Ether-type ACLs and the web-type ACLs in their appropriate section. In this portion, however, of our discussion on ACLs, I'd like to focus simply on extended access lists and how to apply them and use them and create them on the ASA. To start off, let's remember that the order in which we put an entry in an access list matters. It's read from top down. Now, we can add line numbers, and if you add a line number, if there was currently, you do a show access list and there was line 3, and you want to add a new line 3, no problem. Just simply include line 3 in your ACE, your access control entry, it'll push the old line 3 to the new line 4. So no problem about adding or editing. But just remember, if you just add an access list entry, it's added at the bottom. So think of your access list as a bodyguard standing at the entryway or the interface of your choice. And that bodyguard is very, very good at what he does. If you apply that bodyguard or that access list inbound, and that applies to the interface, meaning ingress to the interface, it's not regards to inbound traffic or outbound traffic from a security level perspective, but with access lists, ingress or inbound means ingress to the interface you've applied it to. And the bodyguard simply takes each packet that comes in and processes it from top down. First line, match, yes or no? Nope. Second line, match, yes or no? Nope. Third line, it's a match. Great. It's a match. Is it a permit or deny? If it's a permit, the packet is permitted, and there's no longer access list processing for that packet. And we simply wash, rinse, and repeat for every single access list or every single packet that comes into the interface. Also, as you already know, but it's good to remember, at the very end of the access list is an implicit deny. So if you've created an access list and applied it to an interface, if there's no matches, the packet is going to be denied if it's being initiated on that side of the firewall. Again, stateful traffic, the return path is guaranteed based on the stateful nature of the ASA. To create an access list, it's really simple. You simply, in configuration mode, specify access-list space, and then give it a name. You may want to name it inside if it's going to be on the inside interface. Some people like to say inside_in. Whatever you name it, just be consistent with that. You don't need to put the keyword extended. You'd only need to add a keyword of standard if you're creating a standard ACL. And then your permits or denies. So permit and the protocol you want to permit. You can permit IP, which is everything in the IP protocol stack, or you can specify layer 4 parameters like TCP, UDP, GRE, ESP, etc. if you want to identify layer 4 protocols. And then you specify the source address and the mask and the destination address and the mask. If you want to use shortcuts, you can use the keyword host in front of the source address and or host in front of the destination address if you don't want to put in the wildcard mask. So if I was going to apply an access list called outside to my outside interface inbound, the syntax would be simple. Access hyphen group, outside, the name of my access list, in for the direction, interface, which is the keyword, and the interface name outside. And that access list is now applied ingress on my outside interface. Be aware that when you apply access list to interfaces, be aware of what NAT's doing. If you have a global address that's network address translation for a server on the DMZ, and the global address is 20.0.0.10, you'd want to make sure you use the 20.0.0.10 address in the ACL as far as permissions are concerned, because the access list is going to be checked first before the network address translation rule is going to kick in. So you're going to be working with global addresses on the outside. With the extended ACL, we can actually match on more, of course, than just source and destination IP addresses. We can also specify, for example, with TCP, we can specify that the port is equal to 80 or 443 or whatever we need to match on. We can use the greater than option, GT, which is greater than the certain port number, or less than. We can also use not equal to, and one of my favorites, we can use a range. So if you need to create one entry that's going to match on a range of ports, for example, let's say 100 to 500, you could simply specify the keyword of range and then put 100 space 500, and that would match on that range of ports based on the IP addresses also being a match. If the layer 4 protocol we're looking for is protocol 1, which is ICMP, we don't get the options of greater than or less than, but we can specify message types. For example, an echo request is a type 8, echo reply is a type 0. So the parameters at the tail end of our access list are going to depend on what protocol we're looking for. So TCP has ports, ICMP has ICMP types, for example, echo and echo reply. And so it will depend on the type of ACL entry that you're creating, which options you can put at the tail end. Now, I mentioned the tail end. However, you can certainly also specify source ports for TCP. So if you wanted to source or identify traffic that was sourced from port 80, for example, which would match a web server returning traffic, we could say permit TCP and then specify the actual IP address and source port numbers with the IP address space equal 80 and then the destination, and that would match it as far as a source port is concerned. Most of the time on the outside for traffic coming in, we're going to be matching on the destination well-known ports like 80, 443, port 25, and so forth. Another cool feature that we can use with access lists is the ability to use time ranges. Each individual entry or ACE, the access control entry that we create, can be appended at the very end with a time range option. So we can create time ranges from configuration mode, time, dash, range, space, give it a name, press enter, and then you can specify the parameters for your time range. For example, periodic weekdays from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and 5 o'clock would be expressed in a 24-hour clock notation. So if you wanted a single access list entry that was valid or active only for those time ranges, periodic weekdays from 8 to 5, you could simply create an access list entry, access list, the name of your access list, and then permit or deny the ports, the IP addresses you want to match on. And at the very tail end, you type in time hyphen range, space, and the name of the time range that you created. So that one entry will be conditional based on the time. And that goes back to another really important factor. If you have anything related to time in your lab experiment or your lab that you're currently working on, make sure the time is acceptable. So if NTP is required or if it's not required, make sure you have the correct local time, the time zone set up correctly so that your firewall will be behaving based on what you're being asked to do. Another cool feature that we ought to be aware of is the log option at the very tail end of our access list entries. By adding the log keyword, it's going to generate a log message, which is great. So here's what Cisco's done for us. By default, if you use the keyword log at the end of an access list entry, it's going to default for 300 seconds and give you a summary of what happened, how many times that happened over a 300-second interval. Now, the good news is you don't have to do anything except for add the log keyword to that. So if you have HSRP, for example, which is being denied from neighbors every 3 seconds, in your syslog messages that come up, you'll only see the first time it happens at the very beginning of the interval, and at the end of the 5 minutes, it'll give you a summary of how many times it happened, and then immediately another hit for the next interval, and then at the end of 5 minutes. So you'll get two syslog messages every 5 minutes for HSRP. Now, at the very end of your access list, as you know, is an implicit deny. If you're killing traffic on your network, do you want to know about it? I would suggest yes. So you may want to add at the very bottom of your access list a deny IP any with the log keyword, and that way you'll be reminded at least every 5 minutes of traffic that you are killing, and then you can verify whether it's accidental or whether it's traffic you really don't care about and do want to kill. So in this lesson, we focused primarily on access lists, extended ACLs for the purposes of filtering. Key things to verify as you implement this: if you do a show access list, it'll show you the hit counts, which is important to see. If you want to add a default or an extra deny IP any log at the very tail end, that's a good idea. But just remember, if you add the deny IP any log and you go back later and you want to modify that access list, you'll need to include line numbers to push that deny down further in the stack, or remove that one specific line with the deny IP any, add your new commands, and then add it back in. Because if you forget it's there, it won't take too long to find out, because it's going to be giving you syslog messages saying that it's denying traffic. But just be aware of not tripping yourself up as you configure them. So show access list, show run access list if you just want to see the raw configuration of them. And then make sure you have logging enabled and make sure you can see those syslog messages on your console. Our next section, which is a great one, is IP routing followed by object groups. In object groups, two lessons away, we'll focus on how to leverage configuration elements with object groups to make access list creation much easier. But before we do that, our next section is IP routing. I'll see you there.